academic podcasts have something to do with science. So far, so good, but what moves science to babbling podcasts? That's what this episode is about. I take a look at content creators of academic podcasts and discover why they are producing audio stuff for the listeners. You want to be a content creator? You want to be an expert in audio recording and post-production for podcasts? Then this is the right place for you. You are listening to the ultimate university course in academic podcast, from theory to implementation. I enjoy podcasting and would like to share my experiences with you. My name is Christian Huber, but please just call me Christian. Well, to put it first, I see many reasons why a person or institution would like to make a podcast. Probably there are as many reasons as there are podcasts in the world. Still, I see that this wide diversity can be categorized into specific groups. So let's take a look together at academic podcasts. For example, there are podcasts of an individual researcher talking about their work at the university or an academic institution. Some of them are writing a bachelor thesis or master thesis, others are doing a PhD and talk about the ups and downs of their scientific work. This group, as I can see, wants to share their working process with others, perhaps get them excited about their own topic and encourage others in their academic work. The episodes are sometimes, well, like a diary, about daily activities in research, about conference visits, but also about very personal aspects of mostly young researchers. For me, this first category of academic podcasts also includes the stories of students' experiences from their everyday academic life. This also leads quite well to the next category, and is closely linked to this, or, well, better said, is sometimes promoted and produced by the group of people described in the following. So the next group that produces academic podcasts and that I would like to introduce here are universities and institutions. They provide reports on current research projects and offer a behind-the-scenes look at their institution. In the podcast episodes, scientists promote their work. From the point of view of science communication, well, this is a way to present research and research results to a broader audience. Universities in general and publicly funded research projects in particular are asked to share their results not only to a scientific audience but also to interested citizens. This is increasingly the case for institutions and projects financed with public funding. In addition, there is an ever-increasing competition between educational and research institutions for money, for projects, for students. I also see this aspect as a reason for an increasing number of academic podcasts. Those who perform well may receive more money or additional projects or may attract new groups of students to their programs. In addition, there is certainly also the presentation as an employer. So there are many aspects why podcasts and podcast episodes are recorded and published in this area. You mentioned that this is a lot of marketing? Yes, I think so too. Of course, it's self-marketing of one own person, one's own work, or an academic institution. Academic and scientific marketing. But does that have to make it bad? Which podcast producer doesn't want to inspire the listeners with its own topics and ideas? So yes, there is usually also a marketing aspect. And at the same time, most academic podcasts are not just about babbling. They are always about science and the scientific community. What makes scientists special? Are they all just nerds? Can I identify myself with these peoples? Are they authentic peoples for me? And can I rely on their expertise? Oh yeah, if you are listening to this podcast, you are also a person in the world of science, just like me. Well, when it comes to this podcast, what category does it fit into? From my perspective, it belongs in the teaching and learning category. Instead of just reading a script, you can listen to important stuff and even get some additional information. Learning on demand, self-directed and dislocated learning, the delivery of knowledge, independent of time and place. Listening may also address other types of learners or at least expand the use of other human sensors in the learning process. At the same time, podcasts are not, in my view, not suitable for teaching knowledge on its own. I often listen to podcast episodes as I go along, and with multitasking, I'm not always so concentrated that I can listen to everything right away. Well, but I have the same problems in a lecture or at a conference. For me, however, podcasts are a bit more difficult to extract really relevant knowledge from. Great for me is a podcast as a supplement to deepen or to expand my knowledge. Well, if I wasn't totally sure of that, I wouldn't be doing this, would I? So now we already have three categories: podcasts from individual scientists, podcasts from institutions, and the use of podcasts for teaching. Scientific as well as academic communication is also done professionally by radio and TV stations. There are science programs in which various research results are presented, or on the other hand, one current topic is discussed in many different views. One example is the award-winning Corona Update of the Norddeutsche Rundfunk, a radio and TV station in northern Germany, with the virologists Sandra Cisek and Christian Drosten. This is perhaps the most prominent example at the moment, with a huge audience. Mighty Leindecker, also known by her surname Mighty Nguyen Kim, also inspires many listeners today, not only on TV and social video platforms, but also in podcast episodes. Many of these services are funded by public money. This is about general education and communicating current research findings to a broad population. So a bit like what I already said about podcasts from individual scientists about their own work and the education and research institutions, I see in this fourth category the difference in the selection of topics and people, which is less about self-promotion and focuses on actual education and knowledge transfer. Well, those are my categories, but of course, even I don't have a complete knowledge of all kind of academic podcasts, especially with podcasts. After all, it's great that new ideas and new content can be created every day thanks to the low investment in production. Maybe at the end of this episode, there are some, for me, very important characteristics of academic podcasts. Of course, it's all about personal emotion and insights. Yes, that's what makes listening all podcasts really attractive. But for me, real academic podcasts differ from the many podcasts out there with sometimes unreflected opinions. For me, the guiding principles for academic podcasts is the scientific and scientific ethical claim and target. For me, there is first of all the verification and comprehensibility of the information. I expect from academic podcasts that they do not only deliver a popular view, but that they also contain verified academic and scientific results. Secondly, academic podcasts should present different opinions, different point of views, different explanations. Diversity instead of uniformity. And the third thing, perhaps the most important, academic podcasts have to show clearly when something is taken from a third source. The citation issue, copyright, well, of course, applies to all publications and therefore to every podcast in the world. But I require academic podcasts to make a clearly audible distinction between their own text and the citation. What's your opinion on that? In your view, are there other reasons for academic podcasts that I haven't mentioned here? Science also means critical thinking, so now it's your turn. Go on a journey, listen to academic podcasts. What are your findings about academic podcasts? So at the end of this episode, it's your turn to start your own research.